begin in John chapter number 5. I want to begin by reading verse 39 down through the end of the chapter, and I want to point out a statement here. And then we'll get into our message in John chapter 5, beginning at verse 39. It says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor of men. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" In verse 44, there is a question. He says, "How can you believe me, which receive honor one of another?" And then a statement here, and this is the message tonight, seek not the honor that cometh from God only. And I want to speak this evening on the subject of the honor from God. The honor from God. Just this question alone is something that I struggle with. There's a lot of things in the Bible I struggle with. I don't know if I'm the only one, but maybe some of you struggle some things. As I read verse 44, what I struggle with is why would God honor any of us? Why would God want to honor any of us? When we think of what we were, and even, you know, as saved people, sometimes what we are, why would God want to honor any of us? And yet the Bible says here that God wants to honor us. This word honor means something that is valued above others. We say to children, for instance, honor your father and your mother. We are not suggesting to them that they don't honor all the other adults. We are stating that they should honor, or they should value above all the other adults, their father and their mother. We are to have a greater value as children growing up placed on our mother and our father than the other adults. This is the word right here that God is using. Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, you receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. God is saying here that there are some people that he values more than others, not at salvation. I mean, the ground's all level at the cross. You can be an up and outer or a down and outer, and you can come and be saved. You can be rich or poor, and you can be saved. You can be a child or a 92-year-old man and be saved. It doesn't matter how old you are. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. When it comes to salvation, God will save a woman just as fast as he'll save a man who comes in repentance and faith and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But after we're saved, there are some that God puts a price on that become dear to him, that become precious to him, who have met certain conditions. And as I studied this out in the Word of God this week, I found that there are actually three conditions where he specifically mentions that if a believer in Christ will meet these conditions, God will honor that person. And we ought to seek the honor that comes from God, not the honor that comes from man. Now, I'd like you to take your Bibles now. Let's look at these three. If you'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2 for a moment, in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and I want to read one verse, and this is verse number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number chapter 2 and verse number 30, and I want to give you tonight these three conditions that if we pursue meeting these conditions, God will honor us. And in verse number 30, it says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me." Now I want you to notice this statement. "For them that honor me, I will honor. But they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I want you to notice the first condition to receive honor from God is we must honor Him. God honors, number one, the person who honors Him. God honors the person who honors Him. He values this word honor. If you take the word, the Greek and Hebrew words that it comes from, are sometimes translated in our Bible into the word price, some, dear, precious. God says here, "Them that honor me, I will honor. I will esteem them of greater value above others. I will honor them." Now again, it begs the question, why would God honor any of us? To me, being saved from our sins is enough. Being able to go to heaven forever is enough. If God never did another thing for us, that would be enough. But then for Him to give us qualifications that we can meet to, that He would honor us in this life, man, it just kind of blows my mind sometimes to think of how good God is to us. That He would honor us. I mean, you know the old saying, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell right now. And that's the truth. God is so utterly holy and impeccably perfect, and we are such sinners. I think the Bible even teaches in the law, when He talks about sins of ignorance and sins of presumption and so on and so forth, they'd have to bring all these offerings for those things. We're not only such sinners, there's sins we're doing. We don't even know their sins. We don't even know their sins. And the psalmist said, "Mine iniquities are more than the hairs of my head." Somebody once figured out we got about 125,000 hairs on our heads, average. He said, "My iniquities are more than the hairs of my head." Going out this week, get me one of the haircuts like Brother Stacy's got. Amen. But He said this, He made it clear, "Them that honor me, I will honor." How do you honor the Lord? How do you honor the Lord? Well, He spells out some things for us. As for instance, in Proverbs chapter number 3, Proverbs chapter 3, it tells us this in verse 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." One of the ways you honor the Lord is with your substance. Now, it's just kind of developed in America that usually comes down to money. There's other things too, but it usually comes down to money. That's just the way our society has been established. Honor the Lord with thy first fruits. The first fruits are the most valuable. When I was on the farm, and it's an old story, but man, when things started to ripen and you had your first fruits of the strawberries, man, that's where you as a farmer made a killing. That's where you made your money, because people will pay anything for it. Or when the tomatoes first come out, man, people will pay anything for those first fruit tomatoes. They're the most valuable. A month later, you got them laying around by the bushels rotting. You can't give them away. But the first fruits of the corn, man, people pay any price. What do you want? $5 a dozen, $6 a dozen. Oh, okay, here. I'll take it. They don't care what they pay. It's the most valuable. The Lord's saying, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And this brings up, of course, the biblical principle of tithing. You see, if you will honor the Lord, he will honor you. And one way is our giving. Why our giving? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you do and what I do with our treasure, with our money, is like putting our heart under a microscope. You show me your checkbook, and I'll show you your God tonight. I'll show you your God. I'll show you what you serve. I'll show you what you worship. Honor the Lord with thy substance. A person who loves the Lord has no problem. Did you hear me? No problem with giving the Lord 10% of their gross income every time they're paid. They have no problem with it. Absolutely no problem with it whatsoever. Why? Because they value God so much. That's what honor is, valuing something above others. They value God above money. They value God above the things of this world. They value God above cars and possessions and houses and lands and all those other things. And those things so pale in comparison to God in that person's heart and value. The tithe is nothing. They know that's just the starting point. What else can I give, dear Lord? Honor the Lord with the first fruits. You know, in Psalm 26, it shows us another way we can honor the Lord. Psalm 26 and verse number 8. Psalm 26, 8. It says these words, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. There is one place in town where the honor of God dwells, and that is the house of the Lord. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. You know how you can honor the Lord? Just go to church every time the doors are open. Make yourself out physically to the church. Get over there and hear the word of God and fellowship with the saints. And if the preaching's no good and the singing's no good and the fellowship's no good, at least go to honor the Lord. You know, this building right here in Eden, here, I'm talking about this building at 8688 South Main Street in Eden. This is the place where thine honor dwelleth. God's honor dwells in this place. God's honor doesn't dwell in the store across the street, because they're selling the filthy beer over there and the filthy magazines and so on and so forth. We don't have that here. We honor the Lord here. This is the place where his honor dwells. And when you come out to the house of the Lord, it is a way where you honor God, and he says, I will honor him that honoreth me. You honor the Lord by coming to the house of the Lord. We ought to honor the Lord. And sometimes, not so much maybe Sunday nights or Wednesday nights or anything, but you know, we ought to just honor the Lord, dress up for him, be a blessing. And put on our Sunday go to meeting clothes and just, you know, honor the Lord. When you sing, honor the Lord. When you give, honor the Lord. When you listen, honor the Lord. And he says, I'll honor him that honoreth me. He talks about obedience in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. Malachi 1 verse 6, he says, if I'm your father, where's the honor that you give me? And he says, you haven't been obeying me. And we won't turn there, but another way that we honor the Lord is by obeying the Lord. Obeying the Lord. If you as a child are growing up and your mommy or your daddy tell you to do something and you disobey them or you refuse to do what your dad is telling you to do, how can you say you're honoring your father? That's the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and mother that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We need to honor the Lord by our obedience, by our giving, by going to church. And you can just study down through the Word of God. There's many different ways where it tells us that we can honor the Lord. And with it is attached this promise, them that honor me, I will honor. God will honor you if you'll just honor the Lord. You know, there's times where I have to struggle with a whole new set of temptations in my life that I never thought I had to face in my life. They say higher levels, higher devils, and different temptations. But you know, there's a lot of times where I'll go places. Camp meeting. I like to kind of get in and get out sometimes, only for this reason, everybody wants to stop me. Pastor Cole, good to see you, Pastor Cole, Pastor Cole, sign my Bible. Kids line up, want me to sign their Bible. Teenagers tell me about the youth rallies that we used to have. I've been doing these youth rallies for I don't know how many years, 17 years or something like that, and how it gave them chances to preach and to sing and so on and so forth. And I go to camp or something, and somebody says, I listen to your sermons on the internet all the time. And I hear things. Boy, I read your books and the booklets you wrote, and they really helped me. They got me through this, and they taught me this, and it helped me to be a better husband, a better father, whatever, how to raise my children, and so on and so forth. And can I take your books and translate them into another language for these people in this country over there? And I get these things all the time, and it scares me, brother. It scares me because I know what I was.
Good.
I know what I was. I know what I used to do. And I know the struggles that I still have. But you know, about 30 years ago, I made a decision that I was going to honor the Lord. I was just going to honor the Lord. And I think anybody who hangs around me and long enough know that nothing means more to me than the Lord. I'm not into sports. Money doesn't matter to me. Things don't matter to me. I don't care what I drive. We have a simple house and these type of things don't affect me. I don't go shopping. I think I've been in this new Walmart twice just to get maybe spark plugs or something. I don't go shopping. I've never been in that Walden Galleria thing. Well, never in my life have I been in there. I've never been to the Eden Corn Festival. Never walked in, have no interest. Not a thing about it that interests me. Not a thing. And you could talk to those that know me the best, and my greatest value is the Lord. It's just the Lord. And I've tried to honor him all of these years, and now it's almost scary with the honors that I get. I have to deflect them. I have to keep my guard up. I have to make sure, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've fallen on my knees and said, Dear God, please, please help me not to believe what they're saying about me. Because I get all kinds of compliments, all kinds of appreciation. That stuff can destroy you in a minute. I see some of you, I see God putting his honor on some of you. The longer you go along. There's places I go to fellowships. How long are you pastor there? 27 years. And I was like, whoa. Because it's unheard of almost nowadays. I'd rather be like Bobby Roberson, 54 years down in Walkertown. I haven't done anything yet. He's a man who ought to honor. But I can see God putting his honor on some. Some of you are young, and you're not going to get any honor. All you're going to get is flack. But you got to be faithful. And you got to honor the Lord. And if you honor the Lord long enough, he will honor you. He will honor you. Honor the Lord. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 91. Number two, you honor the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, Brother Meadows got preaching upstairs, and he said, turn to Psalm 90, and I thought, whew. I said, man, he's going to take away my message. Psalm 91. I want you to see a second thing tonight. Verses 14 and 15. Because he hath set his love upon me, Now, this is God talking about somebody. We don't know who, but they certainly are someone we should follow an example. Notice five things the Lord does for this person. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I, number one, deliver him. Number two, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Number three, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Number four, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. There's number five. And then notice the last one, and honor him. And honor him. Honor who? Who will God honor? Verse 14. He that hath set his love upon me. He that hath set his love upon me. Now let me go through this again. I've explained this to our church before. And it just seems like every time I go home after trying to explain this, I say, boy, I failed to make that point clear. But let me try it again. Every one of you, I don't care if you're, I do care, but if you're saved or unsaved, every human being has been made in the image of God, male and female created he them. Everyone. The most perverse, wicked, vile, sinful man out there or woman was made in the image of God. Okay? Because we were made in the image of God, we were made filled with love. For God is love. 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16, God is love. Everybody, the lost, the wickedest, most vile sinner on earth is full of love. It's just become misdirected. They love themselves. And you notice, if you will, the devices of the devil, the wiles of the devil, he'll take a little two-year-old kid and try to divert that kid's love to some Disney figure.
Come on.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'll try to divert a little kid's love to some wicked, vile Hollywood singer. And this is what he does. Right from the beginning, one of the devices of the devil is he knows, he says, I must keep this person from obeying the greatest commandment God ever gave them, which is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This person is full of love because he or she was made in the image of God, and God is love. So I have got to find something for them to love the rest of their life. It could be horses. It could be playing golf. It could be football. It could be sports. It could be your family. It could be money. It could be the things of this world. It could be some particular pleasure or vice. It could be your children. It could be the ministry. I've had to ask myself 100 times, Art, if you lost your voice and your ability to minister, would you still love God? Would you still love God? If you were laid out in a bed and you were paralyzed from the neck down and you never were able to do another thing for the Lord like you might think, would you still love God? These are deep questions. There's people who love themselves, lovers of pleasures more than, but they all love. Some people it's music. Some people it's very good things. Maybe they love the Boys and Girls Club, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. But everyone in this room is full of love, and your love is directed towards something. A lot of believers today, it's music. I can't believe the people that will not come to this church because they're looking more for a praise and worship setting. And they don't want to hear Bible preaching or Bible teaching or sound doctrine. But they have supplanted Christ with music. Music. A lot of that. Examine your heart today. I need to examine my heart today. What is it? It can be good things. Did you ever see somebody who loves their children more than God? And then something happens to that child? And what happens to that person's attitude toward God? They're bitter the rest of their existence. You don't build your world around your children. You build your world around God. Because your children might die. They might get sick. They might go wayward and act like you never did a thing for them in your life. Your whole world could come apart if it's built around your kids. But you know something? You build your life around God, He's never going to go wayward. He's never going to get sick. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. So you build your life around God. That's like digging down deep, Jesus said, laying your house upon a rock. Yeah. Then when the floods come up and the winds blow and the rain falls, it still stands because it's built on a rock. I've seen people, their love is in a car. They have a classic car. Their whole life revolves around owning a classic car or a motorcycle or something, or fishing or hunting. And these things are not necessarily sinful until we set our love upon them. But verse 14 says, because He hath set His love upon me, I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high. Because He hath known my name, He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God says, I will honor the person who sets His love upon me. So God honors, number one, those that honor Him. God honors, number two, those that set their love upon Him. What have you set your love upon? All of us have done it. All of us have set our love upon something or somebody. Now, brother, we were watching Brother Clarence Sexton preaching last week in men's meeting upstairs, and he said, you know, he says he's had to tell his wife, he says he has a love for Jesus that's greater than his love for her. He has to do it, he says. He says, I got to tell my wife, I love you, honey, but I love Jesus more than you. Which is, by the way, a good thing, because then he'll be filled with the Spirit and the Spirit will give him the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, and his wife will prosper more from him showing her the love of God than she will if he puts her before God and only can love her with an inferior love. What tonight have we set our love upon? What have we set our love upon? What have we set our love upon? If we set our love upon the Lord, he said, I will honor him. I will greatly value that person. And finally, turn to John chapter 12. John chapter number 12. And I want you to notice verse 26. Looks like you're all cold tonight. Are you cold? Anybody cold? Brother Stacy's not. I know that much. He's not cold. All right. John 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want you to notice the third condition tonight, and that's service. We said God honors, number one, the person who honors him, values him above anything or anybody. Boy, when people talk to you, what is it that you value? It comes out of your mouth eventually. Is it just sports? Some people can't even talk about their Lord. I know he's in there. I know they're saved, but it just can't come out of their heart. Just can't talk about their Lord. They can't praise the Lord. They can't worship the Lord. What's wrong? We need to honor him and value him above. Number two, the person who loves him. And number three, the person who serves him. The person who serves him. Those of you that are serving the Lord, keep it up. Don't quit. God will honor you. He'll bless you. He'll meet your needs. He'll encourage you. Don't quit serving the Lord. The Lord will honor you. And boy, I can't explain the ways God will honor his children. But he'll bless you. He'll honor you. Now, the world will still hate you, but God will honor you. God will exalt you. God will lift you up. Now, this word serve means to minister unto me. When Jesus said, if any man serve me, he says, if any man will minister unto me, if any man will minister unto me, how do you do that? How do you minister to Christ? You know, if Christ came down here for a week, you know, we'd be falling over ourselves to say, Jesus, what can I do for you? What can I do for you, Lord? Can you possibly come over to my home for dinner? We'd love, we'd be so honored to have you in our home. We'd like to have dinner with you in fellowship. And is there anything I could do for you? Can I carry your coat? Can I carry your shoes? Is there anything I can do for you? You know, the Lord said one time in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 40, he said these words, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. You see, a lot of times we're looking for some big grand thing we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said the word serve here just simply means to minister to me. And in a vicarious way, the way we minister to Jesus Christ is by finding one of the least of these, his brethren, and caring for them. Caring for somebody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be a little boy, it may be a little girl, maybe somebody down on their fortune, somebody having a difficult time, a single mother or whatever. You know, this thing about Christianity, it's quite far away today from its original intent. The Lord one time said, look, when you call a feast at your house, don't call your friends. Don't have your friends or wife. He says, they can recompense you. They can call you a month later and say, hey, now we want to have you over to our house. And you're just going back and forth. And you hardly ever see anyone do this. I'm not. The Lord said, go out and find the blind and the halt and the maimed and the poor. He says, have them into your house. He said, there's no way, there's absolutely no way they can ever recompense you, but you'll be recompensed in heaven. He says, those are the ones that I came to save. Those are the ones that I came to change. And those that are the ones that I came to minister to. And it's so hard. We get away from this. You know, we've stressed caring in our church. We've stressed that a caring church is better than a friendly church. And it's not wrong to be friendly, but it's better to be caring. And, you know, as much as we've stressed that, you just see that natural tendency for us to gravitate back to our cliques. The same few people we feel comfortable with every time we come to church. We gravitate back to them. We talk to them when we get here. We talk to them when we're leaving. We have them over to the house. We get back to using cliches. How are you? Good to see you. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. And sometimes that's all you can do is say something real quick while somebody passes you by. But we need to go beyond that and say, dear brother, is there something in your life that I can pray about? Is there anything in your life right now that I can care about? Do you know somebody else maybe that needs some prayer? Could we maybe pray for them right now? Could we go see them? You know, this thing about Christianity gets out of church. It gets out of the church walls. It goes to the nursing home and sees lonely people without, you know, without the preacher having to hammer at home. Just the natural outflow of your walk with the Holy Spirit. It's going to the prison. It's going to the Hopevale school. It's going to some absentee that you've noticed hasn't been here in a month. And maybe nobody else has noticed it, but it's you getting up and away from the newspaper and away from the television and going and saying, "Brother, is everything okay? I haven't seen you in fellowship lately. Is there anything we can work out?" And as hard as we stress this thing around here about caring, we just seem to gravitate back to our little comfort zones. We live in our comfort zones, and we never have the compassion that makes a difference in a person's life. But Jesus said, "Whoever serves me, whoever ministers to me," now, you know, he's in heaven. And we can minister to him by praising him, worshiping him. We can minister to him by obeying him, but if you really asked Jesus today at the right hand and said, "Lord Jesus, how would you really like me to serve you? You said you'd honor those that serve you." I think Jesus would say, "Man, there's somebody across town that's hurting. There's somebody who's lonely. There's somebody in despair. There's somebody about ready to put a gun to their head and blow their brains out and push away from the banquet table of the church house and just being fed and fed and fed and fed and fed with God's word and preaching and teaching and push away from the table and get out and help somebody. Minister to somebody out there." And it just seems around here we're always trying to tweak the care ministry. The care ministry, it seems like it's the first ministry in our church that dies, just naturally dies. When it should be the ministry that the Holy Ghost prompts more people to get into it than perhaps anything else. Because there's some people that can't preach, they can't teach, they can't sing, they can't organize, but all can care. But boy, it's just so frustrating. We don't realize the Lord said right here in verse number 26, he said, "If any man serve me, him will I honor." Him will I honor. The one who cares. The one who goes out on the bus, brings in the kids. The one who's really prepared Wednesday night, Sunday morning, whatever, and the kids come and they just come in and they're dirty and some of them are filthy and some of them have lived in just squalor all week long. But a prepared teacher is there to love them, care for them, make them feel like $1 million. Goes to their house, does things for them, buys them things, whatever. This kind of Christianity honors the Lord. It honors the Lord. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to serve him. Set your love upon him. Honor him. And don't do it so that, "Okay, I'm doing this so he'll honor me back." Now, don't. Watch your motives. Just do it because it's right. Just do it because it's right. It's right to honor the Lord. You know what I mean? If some famous football player or something came into this church or something like that, man, people would just be, you know, the natural thing. "Can I have your autograph?"
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
You ought to get the autograph of the bus worker out here.
Yes, sir.
You ought to get the autograph of the soul winner.
Oh.
You ought to get the autograph of the missionary coming through. Those are God's heroes. Those are God's heroes right there. Honor him. Love him. Serve him. And he says, "I'll honor that person." And we ought to seek the honor that comes from God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now for thy blessing on our invitation tonight. Lord, we oftentimes want to receive the honor of men, the praise of men. And in fact, Lord, sometimes it scares me and I have to deflect it and I have to run off and get down in prayer and say, "Lord, help me not to believe all these things. Oh God, I don't want to ever get the big head, Lord, because I'm nothing and you saved me out of sin. I was a little blasphemer. I was a little juvenile delinquent. Lord, I was a little vandal. And I backslid and got carnal and did things I couldn't even mention from this pulpit. And for some reason, you gave me another chance. that I can't understand to this day, and I've tried to take that chance, and I've tried to do something with it over these years. And Lord, Father, I'm not worthy of any honor. Lord, but you are. Help us to honor you. Help us to love you. Where's our love tonight? Oh, Holy Spirit, pierce us now. Pierce everyone to examine, where's my love tonight? What have I set my love upon? Lord, may we serve you by serving others. Not, help us not to look for the big thing we can do, but for the little kid or little hurting senior citizen widow lady that needs a visit. Lord, you'll honor that person. God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.